When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes from Goodyear, Arizona, where games have gotten underway in the Cactus League and the Guardians finally got around to scoring their first couple runs here on Sunday after being shut out Saturday in their opener. Hoynesy, what have you liked from Stephen Vogt and his club in the first two games, and what do you need to see a little bit more of?
Yeah, Joe, it was kind of a Jekyll and Hyde start against the Reds on Saturday in the opener. They matched the Reds with 7 hits, but all 7 of their hits were singles. It looked a lot like last season, Joe, but then they come back against the Mariners and on Sunday in an 8-4 win with 3 home runs. Will Brennan, Austin Hedges, and Angel Martinez went deep. They had 11 hits, and they swung the bats very well, and their veteran bullpen guys pitched well. So, you know, pretty good kind of a book. I don't know if it's a bookend, you know, games, but, you know, fair start to the Cactus League season.
Yeah, what you like to see is something you didn't see a lot during the regular season last year, and that was big innings from the Guardians. They were able to put runs on the board in bunches on Sunday, and you know, the home runs really helped. Will Brennan doing something that, you know, he said he's focused on in the offseason, and that's providing maybe a little bit more impact on the baseball, driving the ball and lifting the ball a little bit more. And we saw evidence of that as he hit one out of the ballpark in the win. And Austin Hedges, of course, everybody says Austin Hedges, oh, what a great influence he's going to be on the clubhouse. Great to have him back around. The vibe is so good. Austin Hedges, you know, he's actually quick to remind people in that video that the Guardians posted to social media where he was quote unquote stealing Andre Knott's job. Austin Hedges is among the active leaders on the club in career home runs, a distant third behind Jose Ramirez and behind Ramon Laureano. But he's still a guy who can hit the ball out of the park if the conditions are right.
Yeah, he has. Well, I think he has occasional power, Joe.
But occasional power.
He's always been able to hit the long ball. He just hasn't hit enough of them. But you know, he's really been the people of you know, the players, his teammates have loved having him back. Vogt said it was like an explosion when he hit the home run in the dugout. Yesterday, you know, people are really fired up with, and you know, he's a guy that I think he brings a lot of energy. Jose Ramirez was saying he's the kind of guy that in the Dominican Republic we call he's a good crazy guy. So you know, he's brought that energy to the club.
Beyond you know, the obviously Hedges and Brennan hitting the home runs, anybody in terms of the guys that are there for development, we did see, you know, Chase DeLauder get a hit. We saw a couple of hits out of Kyle Manzardo. What anybody else sort of stand out in that game offensively, at least for the Guardians?
Well, you know, I think Angel Martinez obviously hit a 2-run homer and a 5-run in a 5-run inning in the seventh inning. So that he's an interesting guy, Joe. He's always been kind of lost in the shadows of all the middle infielders that they've obtained, but he's always kind of been a sleeper. So, you know, I think he's a guy to watch in this camp. He had a, really put up big numbers in the minors last year at Double A and Triple A, switch hitter. He's got some power and he looks like he's gotten bigger. So he was fun to watch. He's a shortstop, third baseman. I think he plays all over the diamond. So that's a guy to watch. But yeah, Manzardo, like you said, 2 for 2, 2 singles to right field. Just looked real smooth swing. Didn't try to do too much. DeLauder struck out in his first at bat and then singled to right field in the ninth inning. So yeah, just two guys to keep an eye on for sure.
And another guy that we're continuing to watch throughout camp, obviously, is Davison De Los Santos. Still young, still 20 years old. Still out there learning, trying to be versatile. Did have a base hit, and I believe we saw him on the infield as well, playing over a little bit at first base.
Yeah. Went 1 for 2. Looked pretty good. Yeah, he started the opener, then he got 2 at bats on Saturday. So they're definitely giving him a look. He's gonna play. I think he's gonna play in right field. He's gonna play, first base, third base. We're gonna see him. I think we're gonna see him a lot this spring because obviously they've got to make a decision on him.
And Jose Ramirez is really one of the guys sort of helping this kid along and, giving him all the opportunity to, put his best foot forward out there. If you've got Jose Ramirez in your corner, or at least, acting as an advisor throughout camp for you, it's probably a pretty good start if you're Davison De Los Santos.
Yeah. Jose was saying that he knew De Los Santos, before the Guardians drafted him at the Rule 5 draft at the winter meetings, and he said he's a good kid and he likes his swing, and he kind of relates to him. Jose kind of made the jump from Double A to the big leagues with Cleveland, and he said there's no reason De Los Santos can't do the same.
Yeah, that's a nice little vote of confidence if you got that guy pulling for you. That's for sure. Go back to the Cactus League opener. Carlos Carrasco on the mound and starting that game, and just the emotion of it for Carlos Carrasco, who spent a couple of years away from the club that basically is home to him. What was it like for Cookie to be out there on the mound on Saturday, starting the first game of spring training?
Yeah, we're talking about, a guy that has, over 10 years in the big leagues, pitched, 11 years here in Cleveland. He said he was really, really nervous going out to the mound for the opener on Saturday. Said he's so nervous he couldn't feel the ball in his hand for the first couple guys. And, he walked the leadoff guy, gave up a bloop single to the second guy, and then got out of the inning without any damage. But he said he was nervous. And you can tell he's really, really excited about being here, Joe. And I think, he's pushing hard to make this ball club. I don't know if, and I think the fact that they started him in the opener is, they want to get a look at him. They want to see what he's got left. And we were kidding him. He turns 37 next month or the end of this month. And we said, and he says, don't say that, but keep that quiet. So, but, he's going back. He'll be starting Friday again. He's in the rotation right now, and I think he's going to get a long look here. And I'm still not sure where he fits on this club, but it looks like the Guardians really want to find out, just where he's at in his career.
Yeah, if there's one, maybe two spots in that bullpen that are available or open or at least, able to be contested, You've got to consider that they might want Carrasco to make this club just because he knows what that transition is like in that first month of the season. He's very well equipped to handle those first 10 games on the road and then coming to Cleveland in April and everything that entails. So very familiar territory for Cookie. So good to see him on the mound Saturday and looking forward to getting back out there on Friday. Somebody who will not be getting out there on Friday or anytime soon. We got some frustrating news before the game on Saturday about George Valera, a guy that literally everybody in this organization has wanted to see him get out there and play and just do the things that he's capable of doing. And once again, it's a hamstring issue that's got George Valera sidelined now, according to Stephen Vogt, for potentially weeks.
Yeah, Joe. Really a tough break for Valera. I was talking to him before, before this happened, and he was fired up about being in camp. He had worked hard all winter to get ready. He'd trained in the Dominican. He'd spent a month in Goodyear, working on his hand injury and his legs. And Vogt said he just took a misstep in a pop-up drill and pulled the hamstring. We tried to talk to him yesterday, but he didn't want to talk. So you can tell he's disappointed. And this takes him out of the competition. Probably he probably is going to have to start back. I would think it's at least 4 weeks for a hamstring. So that wipes spring training out for him. And he's going to have, when he does come back, he's going to have to go through spring training. So he's looking at another, delayed season. Last year, what he had the hamate bone issue on his right hand and missed 2 months. Then he pulled a hamstring when he got back to Columbus. He only played like 70 games. So, it looks like another year like that, Joe. Hopefully he comes back, and when he gets healthy, he stays healthy because he's a talented outfielder and they need outfielders.
Yeah, it looks like extended spring training w could be the first time we hear or see anything from him, at the end of camp this year for George Valera. Again, disappointing and frustrating. That's for certain. Another injury update. Really, so far, knock on wood, not too many injury updates to have to go through at this point in camp. But James Karinchak is showing progress. What's the latest on him?
Yeah, he's still, he still hasn't thrown, but Stephen Vogt said he's making progress. I guess he came to camp. He threw a couple times. Said his shoulder wasn't feeling right, and so they shut him down. But I guess he's getting his strength. He's getting his strength back in the shoulder, but still, really no timetable for him, when he might get back on the mound.
Yeah, it's a crowded bullpen race anyway, so we'll keep an eye on Karinchak and just keep listening to what the updates say on his shoulder. Speaking of updates, you can get updates directly to your phone sent by Hoynes and by me throughout the season, throughout spring training, with Guardian Subtext. It's our subscription texting service at $3.99 a month. Log on to cleveland.com/subtext. Or send a text message to 216-208-4346, and we'll get you signed up there. Love to have you in the subtext community. Hoynesy, when could we anticipate possibly seeing one of the regular starting five pitchers make a debut here in a Cactus League game? What's the schedule, obviously, with Bieber and with McKenzie? Sort of bring them along more slowly, but also with Logan Allen, Gavin Williams, and Tanner Bibee, the younger guys who are really in their first full camp and experiencing this for the first time. What when can we expect to see more of a representation of the Guardians rotation out there in Cactus League games?
Well, Joe, Gavin Williams is going to start Thursday against the Angels. So that's the first of the starting five that'll, make a start in the Cactus League season. They're bringing the other guys along pretty slowly, I think. We'll probably get to see them next week. But, you know, Shane Bieber is throwing a simulated game Monday today at the complex. Tuesday, Logan Allen and Tanner Bibee will throw simulated games at the complex. And on Thursday, Tristan McKenzie will throw a simulated game. So I would think, you know, that's the last step before they pitch in a Cactus League game, you know, providing everything goes well. So I think we'll see them next week.
Yeah, it's, you know, a sort of a good progression and a good buildup. And, you know, it's fun how in camp, what days they pitch and with regularity, and as long as there's no setbacks or problems with their recovery from each time out, it's fun to see, you know, the chess match and the planning that goes into, okay, I'm going to pitch on this day, this day, and this day, and then, you know, boom, by the time camp is all ready to close, you've got five guys lined up in order, and it all just sort of comes together. It's a really neat thing there in camp. As far as I know you guys spoke to Jose Ramirez at the end of the week there at the complex. Anything come out of that conversation with Jose that you know was sort of enlightening or revealing about his thoughts towards the season this year?
Yeah, you know, the big change I think with Jose is going to be, you know, Stephen Vogt has said that, you know, he wants him to, you know, bounce between this number two and the number three spot in the lineup. You know, traditionally, you know, Ramirez has hit number three, you know, since 2020. Last year, of course, Terry Francona late in the season moved him into the number two spot just to generate more offense. And I think, you know, that's something that the Guardians would like to see more of. I think they're going to, you know, it looks like the plan right now is depending on the opposition starter, you know, Ramirez will hit number two or he'll hit number three, whichever gives the Guardians the best chance of winning. And, you know, so we asked Jose about that. He says he's more than open to that. He'll do whatever the manager says. And he says, you know, of course, I've had a lot of success in the number three spot. So that's going to, you know, it'll take a little adjustment to hit in the number two spot. But, you know, once the game starts, you know, the challenge is the same. You've got to hit, and you've got to try to hit against, you know, the same pitcher, no matter where you're batting and where you're hitting in the order.
Right. You know, for me, the gold standard for Cleveland number two hitters, the gold standard is always going to be Omar Vizquel and the way that he handled himself, sort of nestled in between Kenny Lofton and Carlos Baerga, and the way he was able to, you know, demonstrate patience when he needed to and put the bat in the ball when he needed to and, you know, handle the bat that way. Jose just doesn't strike me as that kind of a number two hitter. If you're putting Jose in that spot, it's to, you know, to produce more offense that way instead of sort of, you know, hand the baton off to the next guy in the lineup. Him in the number two spot, you're going to need to show me that there's a really good reason for it.
Yeah, Joe. Well, you know, much different lineups too. You know, Lofton, Vizquel, and Baerga. I mean, probably, you know, Antonetti would give his right arm to have that kind of lineup this year, or Vogt too. But you know, I think they're just trying to generate offense. You know, you're not, if Jose's hitting number two, he's not there to hit behind the runner or lay down or advance the runner with a bunt. You know, he's there to hit the ball as hard as he can to drive, you know, to drive the ball. He's not going to change his approach. I doubt it very much. I think they're just, the analytics somehow will tell them, does he have a better chance with a few extra at bats to doing damage against pitcher A, pitcher B, pitcher C?
Well, and we saw Andrés Giménez batting in that number two spot in the opener, and Giménez has said, you know, hey, I want to give it a shot. I want to try to be a number two hitter. But does he have that in his makeup right now to sort of sacrifice the aggression when you need to in that spot and you know, maybe produce when you can? Is that a spot where maybe Andrés Giménez could be an effective hitter?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, we know Andres will bunt, and we know he's going to pick some unique times to bunt. But so maybe that would bit more we suit his game more. But we saw him in the number two spot last year, Joe, a little bit. And I don't think it really kind of complemented his game. I don't, you know, at least it looked like it to me. So, you know, I like him better down in the six and seven spot where his power can play a little more. He's kind of an ambush hitter then. But yeah, we'll see how it works, man. And you also, you know, I know Francona never liked hitting Kwan and Jimenez back to back because they were both lefties, and he thought that would hurt him late in the game, you know, against certain relievers.
Right, and he does sort of extend the lineup a little bit if you put him in that 6-7 area down there. But you know, if he were a right-handed stick, I don't think we would be questioning any of that. It's just the fact that he hits from the left side of the plate. It's it changes things. All right. Last thing I wanted to talk about, and a thing that, you know, we saw it on social media. We saw clips of it. We saw, unfortunately, what we didn't see was the Hoynsey clip of this. I mean, I question why manager Stephen Vogt, you know, had the guys out there doing their sliding drills. And we know that at this point in spring training, at this point, right before the games had started at the end of the week last week, you know, he asks the guys to go out there and do their sliding drills, and nobody likes to do those. Nobody likes to slide in the dirt, and, you know, you get beat up, you get hurt, you get nicked up and scratched. So that's why he brought out the tarp with the hose and the slip and slide, and the guys are having a little fun with it at the end of practice late in the week. But how unusual is it to see your president of baseball operations, you know, pull off the quarter zip and get out there and go sliding across the tarp along with the guys hooting and hollering, and you know, the other members of your coaching staff join in as well. That had to be a lot of fun to watch.
That was cool, Joe. I didn't even know it was going on. I was in the press room writing, so I kind of missed it. I didn't you know, I wasn't an eyewitness, but I saw the videos, and everybody was laughing about it. You know, Bart Swain still has sore ribs from it. The PR director, he dove in there, and he's still kind of limping around today. So but yeah, it was fun. I think you know, Vogt said, you know, we wanted to kind of lighten the mood after having the players work. You know, he said they've worked really hard for these first 10, 12 days of camp, and that they kind of wanted to reward them. And, you know, they got in, the players got into it. You know, Hedges was sliding with the Chernoff with the shirt off, of course. And so I think a good time was had by all.
What did Vogt say? He wanted to see, he didn't want that to be the last time they saw Hedges with his shirt off this year. Hopefully sometime in November during a parade, which, you know, that's a bit of a ways off, but always something to aspire to for sure. Yeah, a lot of fun to watch those videos and, you know, sort of, I was holding out hope there was a chance that Hoynsey got out there, but not in the cards. Maybe Tony Amato and Scotty and the clubhouse guys, you know, get a chance to go out there and dive on it at some point in the future too. But
Joe, I only brought one pair of blue jeans here, so I'd be walking around in shorts.
I am sure you only brought one pair of jeans out there. That's a 10-day trip. Oh yeah, that's one pair of pants. All right, Hoynsey, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll look forward to wrapping up your stay in Goodyear tomorrow, and getting back here to Cleveland, and we'll monitor things in camp. We'll talk to you later.